Well, it's going to be a beautiful last day of September, firing it up to 32 degrees. It will be a beautiful morning in Victoria Park at 10 o'clock when the Truth and Reconciliation Day walk takes place. And there's a lot of other great events encouraging you to find one and enjoy songs. Songs are stories. Enjoy watching the dance, which is all about the pride. And keep an open mind, too, if you're going anywhere today to mark this National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. Don't go in thinking you know it all the story already, because there are many opportunities to learn today. And they're having an Orange Shirt Day gathering at Mama Wayatatin Center starting at 9 with a pipe ceremony. There's going to be a program around the 10 o'clock hour, a lunch to follow. Regina Public Libraries are inviting you to for different artists who will be in libraries, like Nelson Bird, who is going to host a reconciliation media event at Central Library. He's a journalist from CTV Days. Nelson's a great guy, and he's a lecturer at the First Nations University. He'll speak about his experiences working in media, how he's contributing to meaningful and lasting reconciliation. That's at noon at Central Library today. And don't forget, too, at the McKenzie Art Gallery, it's Ralco Radio Free Admission Day. 11 till 5:30, a special afternoon of art and dialogue honoring this National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, too. You folks in Moose Jaw, the Moose Jaw Co-op National Day for Truth and Reconciliation event is actually at Temple Garden Center, the arena. Several Indigenous presenters from Treaty 4 territory and others will share their stories and teachings, too. That's free. But yeah, here we are, September, the last day, and it feels like a hot August afternoon is coming upon us with 32 degrees, too. And just in keeping with what this day means, a couple years ago, on this very day, as a matter of fact, I asked Chancellor of the University of Regina, Cadmus DeLorme, who at the time when I spoke with him, he was, I believe, chief of the Cowessess First Nation at the time when we discussed this. And I went back and I found this tape of Cadmus and I, because just in recognition of where we are today, I asked him what sort of action he would like you and I to take on a day like today. And here's what he told me.
Number one is truth. Have a conversation about the truth. What you always thought was the truth, and admit that the truth that you always thought may not have been the truth. That's number one. When you move to reconciliation, read the 94 calls to action. I'm a slow reader. It takes me 20 minutes. It's a great read. And I tell you, it'll open your eyes. Pick one or two in there and commit for the first year to work on those. You know, I could tell you right now, my favorite one is 45. I love talking about 57, which when you hear me public speaking, I'm educating the truth. That's what 57 is. 92 is business. I love seeing success in business. Mm-hmm. So we should in this province be able to share my favorite or my top two are personally, and then see where they go in your social lives. If you're, in some faith on Sunday, where does that fit in your social life? In your political lives, if we have MPs, MLAs, city council, ask them what their role is in TRC. We must look left and right in this province and help each other, but hold each other accountable in a good way. And then lastly, what is the end goal of reconciliation? That was a tough one to discuss sometimes, but we have to understand on the 30th, when you're talking, is the end goal to me is I got a 6-year-old daughter. My wife and I are raising her. She wants to be a pilot. She told us. My wife and I are going to do everything we can to make her a pilot. But this is the reality in this province. My wife and I have to try twice as hard because our daughter is Indigenous. Why is it that my wife and I have to try twice as hard so my daughter could potentially be a pilot? We will know when we get to the end goal, when my daughter can succeed like everybody else's non-Indigenous daughter in this province. That is motivation to why we don't just do this on the 21st of June or 30th of September. This should be one day at a time.
Cadmus DeLorme, Chancellor at the University of Regina, and a conversation I had with him a few years ago that just, it seems so relevant to play. Mr. Lionel Richie, he's got his memoir coming out today, a book called Truly, in which he reveals something he's never said before.
I grew up totally in fear. I didn't know what ADHD was. You know, can you play baseball? Nah. Football? No. Basketball? No. Tennis? Kinda. I was very anxious about everything. And at the same time, I kept trying to fake it. I kind of found some new areas of my life that I didn't know I had in me.
And besides growing up with such agonizing fear of doing anything that he could barely participate, he admits too he's never been able to read music. He writes all those songs, and it's become his superpower. But to this very day, he says, yeah, I recognize a few notes now, but not enough to actually understand it. And he sold more than 125 million albums. This is going to be an interesting book, too. He admits his favorite Commodore song is Still Brick House. And in the book, talks about leaving them. It's one of the most difficult decisions he ever made.
It was painful because a lot of people thought this is a band. This is a group. This is the closest thing to brothers I've ever had in my whole life. And they pushed me. And we went through life together. And all of a sudden, there's a moment in time when I was having such a moment of discovery that I could write that I didn't realize that, okay, that's a hit. And then that's a hit. And that's a hit. You're the writer of that song. You get a check for the sales of that song as a writer.
Yeah, and there you go. Becoming a solo artist was just that much more lucrative in the long run. But yeah, this book truly is out today. I truly love watching American Idol after all these years, especially in the early rounds, because of Lionel Richie. Because every episode you tune in, he tells a great story about maybe someone that he worked with, like Michael Jackson or Diana Ross or somewhat incredible. He's just got 1,000 stories. That book actually might be of interest to me. Well, probably the audiobook, because I'd rather listen to an audiobook. Ryder fans, getting over the big loss. Temperature on the Green Zone yesterday was hot. In comes Dallas to give us how he was feeling about the Riders.
I'm going to start with a failing grade. I mean, this entire Rough Riders organization, this is, I mean, it's terrible. Corey Mace, I'm really starting to lose it against him, too. Brett Lawther isn't going to get replaced. I mean, I told you, Jamie, even on the post-game show, I told you many times, this is what's going to happen, and people still find a way to rigmarole their defense as to why Brett Lawther should stay. I'm tired of it. For passing grade, AJ Ouellette is fantastic. I have to give the fan base, there's still some fans that are going ahead and supporting. I know people are talking about ending their season tickets, blah, blah, blah. Never been one to support that ideology, but I have to give the fans for sticking through with this. But you talked about Grey Cup contenders. Guess what? We're not, Jamie. We're not Grey Cup contenders. We're not even going to make it past probably first place in the West if we're lucky. We're not going to, whoever we face, we're going to lose to. So, yeah, I'm really disappointed.
That's Dallas weighing in on the Green Zone yesterday with Jamie Locker. He's pretty fired up. I don't know that there's many people wanting to give up their season tickets after a losing streak of two in a row. And I don't think we should be hitting the panic button yet. If we lose against Ottawa Friday night, then I might be a little closer to the panic button. Well, the downtown streets are nowhere near as busy as they normally are, as there are some working, but not as many as normally would be. There's no school either today. It's kind of a mix of people at work and not. But either way, you could stop and grab an orange sprinkle donut fundraising campaign across Canada for National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. So that's what Timmy's is doing. I know a lot of local businesses are weighing in, and many of the staff wearing orange shirts or else special goods are available for sale right now. I don't know if you've seen the Indigenous Riders t-shirts and hoodies and hats. They're gorgeous. And they're on sale today, this National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. And with that in mind, too, we invite you to Ralco Radio's Free Admission Day over at the Mackenzie Art Gallery. It's an afternoon of art and dialogue. It goes from 11 till 5:30. Hourly tours of an exhibit that is curated by Candace Hopkins, who is here now with a little background on what you're going to see with the Mackenzie Art Gallery. Welcome to the show, Candace.
Thank you, Greg. It's really a joy to be here and talking to you today.
And tell me a little about your heritage, anyhow. I know you were born in Whitehorse.
Yeah, so I was born in Whitehorse, and my family on my mom's side is from Carcross Tagish First Nation. And this is a really important day for me because my grandmother attended the Chutla Residential School that was in Carcross at in fact, eventually burned down. So I was raised there in Whitehorse, but then when I was pretty young, we moved to mile 72 and a half of the Alaska Highway.
As executive director, chief curator of this exhibit at the Mackenzie Art Gallery, how do you think this exhibit actually helps to amplify Indigenous voices and lived experiences?
Great question, Greg. You know, 1969 is considered the beginning of what's called the self-determination era. And that had ripple effects in Canada. You know, Canada was doing its own thing, and there were so many incredible leaders at that time. And so what the exhibition has been able to do is kind of talk about what was going on north of the border, but how this very idea of self-determination and agency is also really visible and experienced through the art that Native artists make today. There are, I believe, 8 artists who have roots in Regina or Saskatchewan that are part of the exhibition. So what the exhibition is really saying is that, you know, for many of us, there has always been a cross-border dialogue. Some Native folks call the border the medicine line, so people have been moving across that line from the beginning, especially in Saskatchewan. So it's an opportunity to talk about how self-determination is and has been not just an aesthetic practice in arts and culture, but really a way of life for people across different nations.
Candace Hopkins, my guest, the exhibit on at the Mackenzie Art Gallery today, most importantly. And I ask you, what does reconciliation mean to you then, having your grandmother, the experiences that she went through? What's this day mean to you?
Well, this day is incredibly important for me. You know, she didn't speak about what happened to her at the Tootless School until much later in her life. There was a lot of hurt and trauma and shame around it, but it really needs to be a national conversation, and it is now. And I feel like together, if we can learn throughout Canada about these histories, we can heal as a nation.
I love the fact that my kids are coming home, knowing more than I ever did when I was a kid. It really does seem to be a dialogue that families are weighing in on more often over the dinner table.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, I went to the first commission meetings just as a witness when they were in Winnipeg. To me, it was the opening up of something that everyone needed to talk about. You know, we are much stronger together, not only if we understand our histories, but also if we can better understand how to support one another. I think the fact that you're, you know, talking about this around the kitchen table, and many Canadians are, is one of the best things that we can do.
Candace Hopkins, my guest, executive director, chief curator of the Mackenzie Art Gallery display right now that's open Indian theater, Native performance art, and self-determination since 1969. It's at the gallery till October 5th. If you could pick one story from the exhibit you feel is especially important for non-Indigenous people to hear, what would it be?
So I want to pick an artist who's from Saskatchewan, Ruth Cuthand. In the 1980s, she started creating a series of what I think are absolutely extraordinary paintings, and they were called her Ghost Dress series. The Ghost Dance was a kind of historic resistance movement. It was a multi-day ceremony. It was a peaceful ceremony because people wanted to bring back their ancestors, and they had lost so much during the kind of so-called Indian Wars in the United States. But what they were talking about in bringing back their ancestors was not just people. It was the buffalo. It was all the environmental destruction that had happened because of the building and the expansion of railroads. But the reason that Ruth turned these ghost dance shirts, which were quite famous because the wearers believed that they were impervious to the bullets of the cavalry, she turned them into dresses because she said the way that people have historicized the ghost dance often really elevates the voices and roles of men, but we're forgetting the voices and roles of women. So I encourage, you know, folks who go and see the exhibition to take a look at those paintings because they're very important.
Candace, I've enjoyed our time. I wish I had more, but thanks for being a part of our conversation today, most importantly, and all the great work you've done for the Mackenzie Art Gallery in this exhibit, too.
Well, thank you, Greg. I really loved our conversation, and I hope folks come out and see it.
Shadow in the city, all around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match.
It's a crazy story out of Saskatoon where police are sharing details of a pretty scary incident for anyone to go through this past Saturday morning. A woman, I guess, sitting in her car in her driveway. Guy comes up and pulls her out of the vehicle. She said he got into the car, reversed it out of the driveway, hit a parked car, and drove off. No arrests have been made, and the woman didn't suffer any physical injuries. But man, how horrifying is that? I know a lot of newer vehicles, as soon as you put it in drive, they lock. But just goes to show you, too, like even just backing out of your own driveway, you got to now start quickly thinking, oh, are my doors locked? It's just, that's insane. Hope they catch the guy, too. Starting today, the Yankees and the Red Sox are going to battle it out in the wild card round, and the winner moving on to face the Blue Jays. Did you hear that 86-year-old woman, Carmen, we had in the news earlier? Man, she's from Ituna, huge Jays fan.
They're the only Canadian team we've got. I mean, I like baseball anyway. I mean, I even watch other teams, but I really like the Jays.
I hope she's got a Blue Jays jersey as she watches. They've never played the Jays, the Yankees, or Red Sox in the playoffs, and that's all going to change on Saturday, of course. The matchups of the National League are the Dodgers taking on the Reds, Cubs entertaining the San Diego Padres, and the American League, it's Cleveland hosting Detroit. And then, of course, the Sox and Yankees in New York. Our Riders will get back to work today and preparing for Friday night's game in Ottawa against the Red Blacks. And quarterback Trevor Harris says the team's going to recover.
I wouldn't trade any this team for any team, and I mean that. And I feel like we're going to hit our stride at the right time, and I do think our best football is right on the horizon.
I was listening to the Green Zone with Jamie Locker a little yesterday afternoon, and when the open lines came in, man, a lot of Rider fans have turned on the green and white. Come on, it's only a couple of games. And sure, I'm probably in the camp of concern over Brett Lawther. As much as I like the guy, and he's such a cool guy, it still concerns me that we've talked all along about, well, he hasn't cost us a game. And we know that some of those points that he missed out on the weekend, although they were, over 50-yard field goals, but still. That's about my only concern. And Trevor Harris, I think they got to, there's something there. Maybe he just needs to be rested a little more in preparation for what's to come. So why not throw Jake Mayer in there a few occasions? I'm not saying, just replace Harris, but maybe he needs a little time to just, he's fine. He's an athlete. He's going to be great for us, but I'm not in the camp. Until if they lose Friday in Ottawa, then maybe I'll be a little more concerned. I'm not so concerned as some of the others fired up on the Green Zone. I'm sure they will be again today. CJME News Time is 8:26.